Welcome back to Psukah Daf. This is Rabbi Yaakov Trump, and we are learning Shabbos Daf Nun Vov. Shabbos Daf Nun Vov has a whole lot of psukim, and a lot of them actually are following in the train of the topic which appears on Nun Vov Amud Aleph. And the topic over there is the Maimer in the Gemara, which says, Kol Oimer, David Chata, Eino Elo Toya. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, if anybody says that David HaMelech sinned, is that person is completely mistaken. The Gemara goes through this incredible arichus, this incredible length to understand and appreciate what's going on over here. And so just, it's important to, you know, we sometimes learn Nach through the Gemara. Sometimes it's important to learn Nach through Nach. So it's important to, if we really want to appreciate this sugya, we would need to go back to Shmuel Beis Perek Yud Aleph and Yud Beis at the very least in order to be able to gain a certain sense of what happens. Basic recounting of the story is that David HaMelech is king. He's now assigned generals to the army, so he's not himself going out. And he sees a woman bathing on the roof. He finds out more about her, finds it's Bathsheba, summons her to the palace. It sounds like a relationship happens. She's sent home. And at which point, then this lady who happens to be ostensibly married to Uriah is sent from the France, he comes back, the king tells him to go home, he doesn't listen to the king to go home. The king tries numerous times to get him to go home, he does not want to go home while his fellow soldiers are on the battlefield. David HaMelech sends him to the war front with a note saying that he should be left in the center of the battle, and such almost happens. In fact, it sounds like from the Psukim that the battle captures him before the plan can even come to fruition. Uriah dies, and upon which David HaMelech marries this woman called Bathsheba. This is the general flow of Perek Yud Aleph in Sefer Shmuel Beis. The truth is the Mefarshim really struggle with this. So there are many Mefarshim who try to understand the Pshat of Nach on its own terms, who, like the Ma'ari Kra, like the Abarbanel, say, let's look at the text itself. And the text itself seems to suggest that David HaMelech was a sinner. It seems very clear from the Pshat HaPsukim that he did sin on five accounts. They list five accusations against David. Number one is that the adultery seems to be the Pshat HaPsukim. If you're reading through this without too much in-depth research, it seems like the we'll call it the gist of this parashas to tell you that David HaMelech sinned. That's number one. So, you know, sometimes you can do all kinds of complicated darshanos, but it's important to remember the parashanos stands by itself as well. Number two, the crime that he committed was trying to force Uriah to go to his house to make it look like Uriah was the real father of this child, creating a yichus problem later on. This child would now have problems in terms of marrying sisters, cousins, if the genealogy is not known. Similarly, the third problem was he was trying to get Uriah killed. Number four, allowing a good soldier to get killed with him. It wasn't Uriah himself. And by putting themselves in a dangerous battle situation in the east. And finally, taking Bathsheba immediately afterwards as if he was consumed by his urges that he couldn't even wait for a little longer. So this is what the Mefarshei HaPshat argue. The primary ones who are listed are the Ma'ari Kra, and the Abarbanel summarizes this all very well. The Malbim, who always defends Chazal, defends this Gemara over here in Shabbos Daf Nun Vov, explains that no, the Gemara has explained explicitly why David HaMelech could not have sinned, and he explains the following. He tries to address each of the questions. He points out, based on our Gemara, which the Gemara explicitly says, that in those days, everybody who went to war had a get given to their wife, whether it be conditional or completely a non-contingent get to their wives, so that there should not be a situation of agunois, of women being chained down because of not known whereabouts of their husbands. Now, the Balaam goes into further. He takes it further than the Gemara. And he says, well, let's look at this. Why was the David HaMelech researched who she was in the first place? Because the researcher is trying to find out, is she a married woman? When he realizes that her husband is a soldier on the front, he knows that therefore she's not married now. That's why he searched out who she was in the first place. The Malbim adds on that if you look at the actual family line of Bathsheba, her father was Elam and her grandfather was Achitophel. Achitophel was one of David HaMelech's halachic advisors. He was one of the greatest poskim, halachic decisors of that era. Says the Malbim, it would be impossible to imagine that the person setting national policy would not have a granddaughter who had a get. So just to, in terms of, do you know, they're saying, well, maybe she didn't have one. No, it's obvious that she did have one. Number two, the reason why he sent Uriah home was because of at the beginning, Dara Mela thought maybe once he realized that she was pregnant, if Uriah would come back and then the get might would be contravened, then it could create a chilul Hashem. So David had imagined that perhaps he could cover this up and later on perhaps take the child and record the yichus so that it would not be a problem to avoid the chilul Hashem, which is why he took this path. Number three, Uriah was liable for death to David HaMelech on three accounts. He disobeyed the king to go to his house. He left in front of the king's feast, and he slept in front of the king's courtiers, which is a huge affront to the king. So the Malbim says on all those affronts, Uriah was a dead man walking. Now he could have perhaps used his Sanhedrin, as the Gemara says, but he was a Mored B'Malchus. The king had the right to remove his life right there and then. Number four, David did not want Uriah to be killed with others. He asked specifically that he be left behind. So there was not going to be others who were harmed by the death of Uriah. And then finally, the reason why David HaMelech married her, this is point for point as he responds to the Marikra, the reason why David HaMelech married her immediately was in order to mask the pregnancy so there should not be embarrassment or chilul Hashem, which is why he did it, not because he was consumed by his ta'ava, by his desire. It's worthwhile noting that whichever side of the debate that one's on, with the Mefarshei Pshat or those who take the drash of the Gemara as Pshat, like the Malbim, that either way, whichever way it is, whether it's a technical sin or not a technical sin, in the end of the day, the Gemara's point still stands, which is the Shechina still returned to David. The son out of the union of David and Bathsheba was Shlomo HaMelech, the second son. The first one dies. The second son, Shlomo HaMelech, who became the builder of the Beis HaMikdash, where the Shechina resided, which ultimately means that whatever it was that David did or didn't do, whether it's technical or not technical, whether it's in the spirit of the law or not in the law, whichever side of this debate that one looks at, in the end of the day, David HaMelech was able to recover from it. David HaMelech suffered terribly. The rest of his life was suffering for the sin. And we'll see the innumerable suffering that David HaMelech went through and difficulties. But in the end of the day, he was able to recover from it spiritually. And that perhaps gives even greater chizuk to what the Gemara is saying. It might not mean that necessarily that David HaMelech didn't sin, but David HaMelech never remained in sin. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.